Welcome to the Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Today we have three persons. We have the professor from the School of Economics and Administration, University of Malaya, Professor Terence Gomez. He wrote a very breakthrough book called The Ministry of Finance Incorporated. Was published 2 or 3 years ago. Since then, Professor Terence has been on the road talking about how the need for us to really think about how Malaysia needs to restructure GLCs, GLICs, and governments in business needs to be discussed at length. Terence, thank you for taking the time to speak with us. Let's do a quick recap into the situation we have right now. There's a lot of drama, there's a lot of scandal, lawsuits, many of them are still ongoing. Nobody has yet gone to jail, strangely enough. But there seems to be something missing in terms of how we improve our corporate governance in this country. Let's do a quick overview on the lay of the land.
Thank you, Ibrahim, for having me on the show. Let me start by saying when this GLC system was created, it was created to bring about a mechanism to solve social injustices, economic injustices in society that was a consequence of colonial rule. One example of a GLC which has done very well in redistributing wealth is Felda. Another one is Mara. And look at the great work that Mara did in creating a new middle class through education. Look at what Felda did by making landless people a landed gentry. Now, what happened subsequently was these public enterprises then got converted into what we call now as GLCs. They got captured by the state, by politicians in control of the state. And then they became tools that were used for patronage, for directorships to their loyal supporters. Now the whole system has grown exponentially. Today the GLC world is huge because it's a tool for politicians to also dispense rents to cronies. And that's why we see all these scandals happening. The system is now totally out of control. And this is what the book is about. This is what my talks have been about. How do we reform this GLC system that is now deeply embedded in the economy? It is particularly important now because my starting point was this. The GLCs can play a very important role in the economy. They are present in every sector of the economy. But they must be professionally run and they must be employed to resolve social injustices or serious problems in the economy. That is not happening today.
Yeah, the thing about this, Terence, is that when we talk about check and balances, it's always there. We have laws, we have the Companies Act, we have all the penal code in place, but there seems to be shenanigans still taking place in many of these GLCs. And like I said just now, nobody's gone to jail yet, despite billions and millions missing. And that's, of course, the criminal aspect of it. But then there's also the mismanagement elements of it. You were touching about the notion of how the GLCs came about in the country. Felda, of course, is a crime example of that. But then their subsidiary company, FGV, when it was listed, it was the biggest listing in that year, second only to Facebook. And now it's just a shadow of what it was of itself. There seems to be something missing here. So it's anywhere it ranges from. So the spectrum is criminal on one end and incompetence on the other. And there's nowhere that the corrective behavior is in place. This is the part where it's really getting important for us to talk about, because it's public wealth and it's also privatized profit that is being discussed and muddled together. And this is very strange to speak of. I don't know whether it's being seen in other countries.
Ibrahim, the core concept that we need to deal with here is that of power. Where does the power lie? Who has ultimate power and control over these institutions? Now, if I may show you the first slide, can you please drop the first slide on the GLICs? You can see there's enormous concentration of power in the office of the Prime Minister and the Finance Minister. These are the government-linked investment companies. There's seven of them, which control a huge spectrum of publicly listed firms. What we need to deal with here is the concept of devolution of power. how do we ensure that his power, which is so deeply concentrated in the office of the Prime Minister, which gives him also economic power, control over the economy, as well as we now know, we also have a very powerful executive. If you have a combination of political and economic power, we saw this also under Nanjib, and you saw the consequences of it. What good that could have come out from using these GLCs have unfortunately been betrayed by these politicians in whom this power lies. Now, this is what we have to look at. What is the institutional framework within which these GLCs operate in? That institutional architecture must be understood, and we must change it so that politicians do not have that kind of overwhelming influence over the GLCs so that they can be deployed properly in the economy, especially at a time like this when we need them to work in our battle with COVID.
Okay. This slide is actually quite orderly. It's quite interesting, but you have other slides that I looked before we started the show. Let's pull up the second slide. And this is, I don't know what to make of this. It seems like all these companies, the companies that you listed earlier in the previous slide, is in touch with all the other big names of the country, anywhere from, you know, Bursa Malaysia Berhad, which is in itself a trading company as well, Sime Darby, one of the biggest plantations in the world, Media Prima, Tenaga Nasional, Axiata, Malaysia Airports. These are household names. And this is, quite frankly, nothing new to us. Everybody is aware of this, but nobody has seen it quite this way, in where it is intricately connected through a web of connections.
So if you look at the first slide, I drew attention to seven GLICs. That's Minister of Finance Incorporated, the holding company of the Minister of Finance, PNB, Kazana, EPF, Tabung Haji, KWOP is the fund for pensioners, government pensioners, and LTAT is the fund, pension fund for those in the armed forces. These are not so familiar names. However, when we looked at just these seven institutions, what you're seeing here now in this slide is the number of publicly listed companies that they control. We're talking here about 35 odd companies, but if you go down the list, the total number we have traced, at least 70 publicly listed firms are controlled just by these GLICs. Now, what that means is, in terms of total corporate wealth, just these companies own about 45% of market capitalization. That's huge. I want you to come down now to the next slide. Just these publicly listed companies. If you come to the next slide, now this captures the huge spectrum of companies that these seven GLICs with these 35 publicly listed firms. Look at this figure. The figure in green shows you the number of companies in the corporate sector that are linked through ownership, either as subsidiaries or as associate companies, or companies in which they have equity interest in. The GLC world is huge. And here I'm talking only publicly listed firms. Now, this is what is not known to most Malaysians, how vast these publicly listed companies are in terms of their presence in the corporate sector. And all this is ultimately controlled by...
Sorry, I forgot to stop you there. So each and every single node has a predetermined market capitalization. It's traded. I can go out there and buy a slither of it. And each of this is controlled by some form of GLC, GLICs, meaning that Malaysian public listed landscape, or the capital markets, so to speak, is very much entrenched with the government. Or am I reading this wrong?
Yes. It's entrenched in the sense of equity ownership in some form. It's entrenched in the sense that if you look at the volume of equity interest that the GLICs and other government-related companies have. Let me remind you, even state governments own GLCs, which are also part of the corporate sector, which also own equity interests in the corporate sector. That's another world that we have to look at, which I'm not showing here. But yes, they are deeply embedded in the corporate sector. This world has to be deconstructed carefully, has to be reformulated in an open and transparent manner, so that we know exactly how these companies are operating, we know exactly how they can be governed in a manner in which there is disclosures to the investors, so that they understand what they are getting into also when they invest in the publicly listed firms. If I may, this is just publicly listed firms. Can I go down one more slide? If you show this slide, so far I've only been talking about publicly listed firms. Here is a slide on entitled Ministries in Business. Now, as you know, we have a huge number of ministries in the cabinet. What is not known to most people is that these ministries themselves own companies. Now, here I'm drawing attention just to four ministries: the Ministry of Finance, the Prime Minister's Department, the Ministry of Rural Development, and MoSTI. Just the four. The purple nodes are unlisted firms. So what here I'm drawing attention to is, if earlier we saw the publicly listed world in which the GLCs are a prominent actor, here I'm showing you the unlisted companies in the corporate sector, which are also controlled by politicians through their control of their respective ministries. How big is this GLC world? Mahathir Mohamad, when he was in opposition, referred to this world as a monster. When he captured power, we thought that he was going to reform this world, make it open, make it transparent, take it out of the shadow, let Malaysians see what we're dealing with, reform it. But he didn't do it. Why didn't he do it? Because when Mahathir returned to power, after all, this is the world that he created, when he returned to power, he realized, as Prime Minister, he also now had control over these GLCs, both listed and unlisted companies. And he didn't seem to have the political will now to fulfill what he had put in his own manifesto. Let me remind you, I'm only showing you the federal level GLC world. I repeat, what happened to, what about the state level GLC world? We have 13 state governments. Each of these 13 state governments after the last election, eight of them were controlled by different parties. What that means is eight different parties control state governments, which control GLCs. Why would politicians, if they control this GLC world, want to give up control of their interest in the corporate sector? My point is, and I want to close on this, there's no political will among politicians in power at the federal level or at the state level to give up this overwhelming ownership and control that they have over the corporate sector. And therein lies the problem with why this GLC world is so abused, which brings us back to the question that you raise. Why are we having all these scandals, all these issues with corruption, abuse of power, conflicts of interest? This is what we need to reform immediately.
All right. We'll go for one short break before we continue our conversation with Professor Terence Gomez of University of Malaya. Welcome back. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the show Professor Terence Gomez of Faculty of Economics and Administration at UM. Terence, let's talk a little bit more about how to reform the GLC world of Malaysia. You know, I initially asked you, you know, the lay of the land. You gave me a full-blown nuclear blast, preview. I am now very tentative to ask you furthermore on how it looks like, because it's really scary. I thought I knew, I didn't. And of course, this is something that you condensed for my show, so I'm pretty sure if we go into detail and into an academic perspective, it's going to be going through a rabbit hole, and I don't know what I'll find down that hole. As we alluded to just before we went into the break, there is no political will for this to change. And if a commentator is outspoken outside, the moment you give him or her the keys to power, that political will dissipates as quickly as it comes. So now, do we have to look at other avenues to reform the GLC world? What other methods are there for us to look at, and what can we as the rakyat do to ensure that there will be some form of reform in order for us to make sure that this country, you know, doesn't go down the drains?
Well, the first and the easiest thing to do is we must take away control of this GLC world from the hands of the executive arm of government, the Prime Minister. When Muhyiddin became Prime Minister, he made it very clear, if you want to consolidate power, what do? Give directorships of this GLC world to politicians. You can see here now how the system can be abused. So the first immediate reform can be done very quickly. You have to form an independent commission. This is urgently required, which has no politician in it. The second thing that we need to look at is, once we have formed this institution, this commission, We have to map out this world. What I have shown you is only probably the tip of the iceberg, Ibrahim. I can tell you now, the world is much bigger than even what I have shown you. And you have already mentioned how complex and mind-boggling this world is. We have to map out this world, and then we start the reforms in terms of the different GLCs. I mentioned when we talk about the GLC world, we have GLICs, government-linked investment companies. We have statutory bodies. We have holding companies. We have a sovereign wealth fund. We have pension funds. All of them are doing different things. My main concern is really the unlisted companies, especially those controlled by the ministries and at the state level. That's a huge world there too. That too needs to be looked at and reformed separately. The third thing we need to look at once we've done this is internal managerial reforms. Who leads these companies? Now, we have always been argued there should be a professional managerial class that takes over these companies. It has been done. In what happened in 1997, when we had the Asian financial crisis, when a lot of well-connected companies were bailed out, they became GLCs. And then what happened subsequently was a professional managerial class was created to run these GLCs. The problem, however, is because of the control that the executive has over these GLCs, the professional managerial class that we are talking about is totally subservient to the prime minister or the finance minister or the chief minister. There must be a delinking between those who manage these firms and those who control it, which is the government. The third thing we need to look at and look at very carefully is public policies and how public policies are closely linked to how the GLCs are run. For example, we have affirmative action in business. When you have affirmative action in business, the idea is these policies should be implemented through the GLCs. Najib said that when he lost a lot of influence in 2013, he introduced the Bumiputra Economic Empowerment Policy, and he said, to implement this policy, I'm going to use the GLCs. And that led to the abuse of GLCs, which led to a series of crises, such as the Mara crisis, the Tabung Haji crisis, and so on and so forth. So the link between affirmative action, between policies and GLCs also have to be reviewed very carefully. How do we do it? One more issue which I would like to say. A legal and regulatory framework has to be created that is open and transparent. There are different ways in which the government can own, the state can own these GLCs. One is the centralized model, which we have seen under Ministry of Finance. We also have a decentralized model where it's dispersed among different institutions. Malaysia has a dual model, as you have seen, a decentralized and a centralized model. Ministries also, at that level, it's decentralized. So we have them operating simultaneously. We have to look at these different models and decide what kind of model do we want to have. Some countries like India and Philippines, for example, have just one coordinating agency to look over the GLC world, to see how they are performing, to monitor them. They have performance indicators, for example, on these GLCs to make sure they do what they're supposed to do. And finally, there must be high transparency standards involved. As you can see, it's a huge world. They must ensure there's disclosure in terms of what they're doing. And here, the role of the media in also overseeing these GLCs and seeing how they operate and reporting on them. The GLCs themselves must give regular reports on what they do.
Some of the public listed companies are already compelled to do that. And of course, while there are still issues surrounding, you know, items like this, the best example is Serbia Dynamic, for instance. Last week, their share price halved, consequently halving their market capitalization as well. This came about when one of their auditors, in fact, their only auditor, KPMG, raised some auditory concerns. Reaction was not to address the audit findings, rather to change the auditors. As simple as that. BDO is going to replace KPMG. And then, of course, you know, there's a lot of things, everything is blow by blow. But generally speaking, they'd rather change auditors rather than address the findings. This is the kind of corporate behavior that is emblematic or symptomatic of what Malaysia is all about. And by the way, this is just the public listed companies, because this is what we know of. Imagine the unlisted companies. And as you say, state level, we don't know what's happening there as well. You know, a lot of things that happen at the state don't get national attention because it's, you know, it doesn't warrant that kind of, it doesn't merit that kind of national attention. But yeah, it's not just about having good ideas. It's about trying to make it work. I can't see this moving forward without some form of, you know, regulatory changing or even some brave politician to come in and say, you know what, this has to be done this way, the reform, even if it is not in the best interest of me, the Mr. Politician, it has to be done for the benefit of the people. If you don't have that kind of self-serving, non-self-serving or selfless kind of politician, I don't think this is going to work.
Yes. So let me come back to these points which you raised, which are very important, Ibrahim. First, as you pointed out correctly, when it comes to publicly listed firms, there is a lot of oversight. In 1997, when we had the Asian financial crisis, there was a major reform of corporate governance. And we introduced many of, according to the OECD, some of the corporate governance reforms we introduced were among the best in the world. And this was to have oversight over publicly listed firms. It doesn't matter whether they were GLCs or those which are privately owned. They all came under the same monitoring system. So how then do you explain all these scandals? The issue here is of selective prosecution. This comes back to my point, where does the power lie? Who decides? These institutions which are monitoring the GLCs, where these scandals are occurring, are they allowed to act without fear and favor? Because they're ultimately controlled by the Minister of Finance or the Prime Minister's department, are they allowed to act against those who perpetrate these corporate crimes? So that's what's happening in the publicly listed firms. This is why I come back to the point I made to you earlier, devolution of power. We cannot let the executive have control over these GLCs. We need to have an independent commission reporting, say, to Parliament. That's the first point. What about unlisted firms? In unlisted firms, there's no monitoring of them. I showed you the whole world of unlisted firms, which is huge. And you will see that there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of patronage distributing rents to them. Publicly listed firms even do provide concessions to these unlisted firms, which is not transparent. As we, the allegations of this say even now, with Farmer Niaga being cited as a case, which they are refuting. Now, this is where I want to make a distinction between corporate governance and public governance. In terms of corporate governance, yes, we can institute these things and ensure that there's some corporate governance, give them autonomy. But I also want to draw attention to public governance. We are talking about government institutions. Leave aside the unlisted firms and publicly listed firms. What about the statutory bodies? And we're talking about important institutions like MARA. What about institutions like Khazana, PNB? You know, those who are PNB, okay, it's a company, but look at those institutions too. So there's also need to be a reform of the public governance system. What does that mean? Again, a different kind of regulatory framework where there is checks and balances, proper checks and balances. So these are the issues that, Ibrahim, we really need to think about. I'm not saying that I have all the answers. I'm not saying that we have looked at it carefully enough, because we still haven't, as I said, we've only touched the tip of the iceberg. We need to look at all these different aspects of the GLC world. There are different components to the GLC world. There are different ways in which we regulate them. There are different ways in which we monitor them. There's a whole lot of work to be done here. I'd like to close on this point. You may argue, why don't we just privatize it? But then the question arises, who do you privatize it to? Is that the panacea to this? In the country today, we have a problem of wealth and income disparities, huge wealth disparities. If we privatize this world, which now belongs to Malaysians because it's under the control of the government, who ultimately takes ownership of all this wealth? These are other important questions we need to look at, we need to think about, we need to debate. So, Ibrahim, there's a lot of issues to be discussed here. Politicians, as you ended in your comment, have no political will to do it. This is why this is important. Now we are dealing with a pandemic, which has had major economic implications. This world can be used to help save Malaysia. But there's no attempt even today as I speak to use this world, even though the government has drawn attention to the GLC world, to the government ecosystem, as they call it, to help Malaysia. I don't see them employing it properly.
Thank you, Terence. We are going to have a rather deeper discussion on the reform of GLCs on Futures Malaysia Forum that's happening on the 14th of June. There's going to be Terence, Datuk Sri Nazir, there's going to be a few other speakers as well joining us, Trisha Yeo of Ideas, talking about how to make it actionable in terms of all these reforms instead of just taking it to an academic level. I think that's the more important part. Of course, Terence, thanks for taking the time to speak with us now as well as next week. But for now, that's it. That's all the time that we have for you in this episode. Catch you in the next one.